And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus 106 on a Thursday afternoon. And we're past mid-January finally on our stretch into spring, although Mother Nature not quite agreeing just yet. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. I want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. This will probably be, well, today and early tomorrow, our last warm day, at least for the next 10. If not a little bit longer than that. So get ready as Arctic air, coldest air of the season, in fact, coldest air in 2 years that will be pushing down out of Canada. And this isn't only affecting our area. They're expecting snow all the way down into Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. So this is a far-reaching cold air mass going all the way down to the Gulf Coast and to the East Coast. So only place really that's going to escape this is the desert southwest and parts of southern Florida. So, yeah, it's January, but it's been a couple years since we've seen it this cold. So, although last year was, we were spoiled last year. We didn't have much of a winter at all.
Well, and how, and the length of time, does it matter that this is going to last a little bit longer than usual? I mean, as a kid growing up here, I remember the stretches of 10, 15 days where we didn't get above zero. So is this a surprise in any way?
It shouldn't be. No, no.
Okay.
But, you know, with global warming and chemtrail spraying and warming our atmosphere, that's why it's not happening as much, Bridget.
Sure. You keep telling yourself that. Uh-huh. Okay. But the things that are happening, I mean, if you look at road conditions right now across the state of North Dakota, especially the north central and northeastern part of the state, we are heavily in ice. You know, maybe some of you followed the story that there's not that much snow out there, right? We've said that, not a huge amount of snow cover, but there was enough wind and it was warm enough on the pavements and there was enough drifting yesterday. There were well over 40 vehicles in the ditch south of Minot on Highway 83 last night between Minot and South Prairie. I mean, it was very treacherous. It looks like that stretch today is still under scattered ice. So
yeah, not as bad as yesterday, thankfully.
No, no. And will we see those conditions returning tomorrow? Because we're going to have such high winds.
Well, that's a good question. And the short answer is, for some, yes. Now, there's a wild card that we have to overcome, and I'll have more on that in a bit. But we're looking at windy conditions developing as we head into tomorrow. Now, today's quiet, and we're not going to see a whole lot of wind. They'll be switching to the south, about 10 to 20. High's pretty close to 30 today. We're only going to drop off a few degrees into the mid-20s tonight. South winds will increase about 10 to 25 and gusty, so might see a little bit of blowing snow on those east-west roadways overnight tonight. And then tomorrow, the winds switch back to the northwest. We'll have a morning high of 30. The winds will be blowing about 25 to 40 across the area. There is a little thin crust of ice on top of the snow in most areas, at least in and around the valley. Now, it's going to take about 45 mile an hour wind gusts to kind of chip away that little thin crust on top of the freshly fallen, or what was freshly fallen, snow. I think that is going to be a better possibility off in north central part of the state, and also just east of the valley. I think areas that have the deeper snowpack into lakes country have a better chance of seeing reduced visibility, possibly near blizzard conditions, if we get those wind gusts high enough. So we'll have to wait and see how it all pans out. Typically, our models overdo the wind just a bit. But again, if we can get those 45-mile-an-hour wind gusts, that would be enough to chip away at that thin layer of crust on top of the snow. And if that happens, then conditions will really get bad tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening. So keep up to date on the forecast. It's going to be kind of one of those things. Wait and see. Keep it in. If you have travel plans, keep that in the back of your mind that you may have to reschedule. Because again, if that does occur by tomorrow afternoon and evening, we could have near blizzard conditions. If that crust holds, it won't be nearly as bad. So that's a big, big question mark right now.
Well, there's a lot going on. I mean, I'm headed to Bismarck later today, right after the show, actually, because North Dakota Ag Coalition is going to have an event this evening. So many of us are going to be at that. Tomorrow morning, I head up to Harvey. And so I'll be kind of heading right into the thick of things.
Wow.
We'll see what that turns around and looks like by the time I get out of Harvey tomorrow. So
yeah,
there's also this weekend with the super cold temperatures, Governor-elect Kelly, well, now he really is governor, not elect anymore. Governor Kelly Armstrong has his inaugural ball, and that will be Saturday night in Bismarck at the Bismarck Civic Center, Bismarck Event Center. They've renamed it. I guess I'm old enough to remember that it's still the Bismarck Civic. And that is a free to the public. They ask you to RSVP because there will be cash bars as well as hors d'oeuvres. There are two charities that are going to be the beneficiaries of donations at that event. One is the Great Plains Food Bank. The second, oh, by the way, they'll be taking canned goods and as well as cash for the food bank. And second of all, North Dakota FFA Foundation will also be taking cash donations. And it's looking like that'll be a great boost to the bottom line of two outstanding charities in this region. The food bank covers all over the state. It supports schools and other food pantries and so many people that just need their help, particularly in the economy that we've been having as of late. So big shout out to them. Very much appreciate that.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Go ahead, Dean.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Because I was going to say, and with all the weather we've been talking about and road conditions, let's not forget that this weather update is indeed sponsored by Ryan Bonesack with Equitable AgriFinance. He is helping farmers and ranchers restructure their balance sheet and providing working capital. He's here to work with you, so give Ryan a call at 701-261-6529. I've worked with Ryan. He is a true professional.
Yeah, and with I wanted to hit on with the cold weather coming in this weekend. There will be advisories, cold weather advisories and cold weather warnings issued. Now, that's just replacing what used to be wind chill advisory, wind chill warnings. So, again, if you're traveling, winds or wind chills are expected to be between about 30 and 40 below over the weekend. So make sure, please, if you are traveling, make sure you have a winter weather survival kit in your car, extra layer of clothing, gloves, hats, the whole thing. I know it sounds redundant, but maybe somebody that's new to the area, just moved here. This is life-threatening cold. If something happens, you get stalled out in this. So please, please.
Right.
Yeah. And especially I had somebody that was going to travel down to the Twin Cities tomorrow and in the afternoon. I said, you know, that probably is not a good idea because as you go through Lakes Country, it could really get bad tomorrow afternoon as those winds really ramp up. So if you have to travel tomorrow, again, make sure everybody knows where you're going. You have a winter weather survival kit, all that good stuff. We're at, you know, I like to look on the positive side of things. It's lucky we don't have a thicker snowpack. If this came through on any normal winter, with what a normal snowpack would be, we would have full-fledged blizzard conditions across the entire state, as this Arctic front hits. So we're kind of lucky that we're a little behind on snow cover. But what little we do have, again, it's something we'll keep an eye on for tomorrow afternoon. So, again, keep up to date on the forecast. We'll be updating you on our website and on air as we head into tomorrow in case conditions rapidly deteriorate.
Let's just face it, roads tomorrow could be a whole different ball game. And so anytime that you are on the road, we ask that you make sure to let us know how it's going. You're welcome to reach out to us at 701-293-9000. That's the phone line right here for Weather and Ag in Focus. And of course, you can always send us questions, either weather or ag at flagfamily.com. Have you followed our Facebook page yet? Because we live stream there, same on YouTube, as well as Acres TV. And you can find us on Facebook, WAG, WAG in Focus, Weather and Ag in Focus. We're happy to have you join us. We're trying to post things on a very regular basis there. In fact, one of the things I tend to do on Sundays now is ag-related books. Some of them are authors we've had on air. Others are ones that I think you might find an interest in. And if there's something that you want to read that has an ag relationship to it, I'd be happy to share those books as well. In fact, the one I just put up this past weekend was Snoopy and the Spy. That was done by Lee Clancher. And Lee was a guest for us where we talked about espionage in the tractor four-wheel drive wars that were taking place in the 70s between IH and John Deere at the time. So we'll see if folks pick up some of those books. That would be great if you did.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, we're coming up on our break here. Our guest is coming on, a little late today, about 1:30, right, Bridget?
He is, yep. So I talked to Trent a little bit earlier that our guest today will be Trent Luce. Many of you know Trent from Loose Tales. He is a farm broadcaster out of Nebraska. He's also a rancher. But Trent is on the road today, like many of us usually are this time of year. And Trent is also a spokesman for the All-American Beef Battalion. If you are unfamiliar with that, the Beef Battalion works very, very hard to make sure that they provide quality beef to the soldiers, active duty, and so much more. And we're going to talk about what they do and how they accomplish that goal as the All-American Beef Battalion. In fact, if you have questions for him, you can look at their website, steaksfortroops.com, and generate some of those questions. Again, you can be calling in at 701-293-9000 so that we get them answered. You can send us emails too if you'd like. Happy to share those whenever we can. So we will catch up with the American Ag Network. We've got markets. Some of you are seeing a little bit of a rally the last couple of days in corn. Is it sticking? We'll see. But first, Jesse Allen wants to talk about livestock trades, and we will do that and return right after this. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And today it's not just talking about something chilly in the weather and ag-related, but the 60th annual Red River Valley Sportsman Show is coming soon. Or excuse me, the boat show is going to be this weekend. Coming up very soon, tickets we've got for you for next week so you can attend. I've actually never been to the boat show because I've never owned a boat. I guess that could possibly change if I went to the boat show.
You might be a boat owner if you went there.
Maybe I would. So with a pair of tickets to give away for that, Dean, can you take calls? And yeah, who do you want?
Let's take caller number lucky seven. Lucky seven, if you want a pair of tickets to the boat show next weekend. Again, what a great way to kind of break away from the winter cold and get the vibe and get the feel of spring and summer. So again, we'll take caller number seven if you would like to go to the boat show next weekend. Should be a good time. It's usually pretty good crowd out there, and again, it gets everybody away from the cold that we've been having. In fact, by next week, by the time that boat show rolls around, according to the LRC, we should have another couple clipper systems coming our way as we add to our snowpack for late next week. But again, caller number seven we will take, 701-293-9000. Okay, you going to take him? All right, Addison's going to take the calls, so we'll see. It looks like we're having
trouble. Who's going to join us?
Yeah, it looks like we're having a little trouble with our phone line.
Oh, no. After we gave out that number, and by the way, if you're wondering the details on that boat show, I looked them up, so I'm not just speaking randomly. The Red River Valley Boat and Marine Products Show is the 24th, 25th, 26th, and it's going to start on Friday at noon. So if you want to play hooky for the afternoon and beat the crowd, that'd be a great day to do it. And this is a $12 per person value. That is the ticket price when you arrive. So stop in, fishing boats, pontoons, and so much more. Again, we're looking for lucky number seven to make sure that that person can go ahead and receive those tickets. So one of the things that I mentioned earlier is I'm heading to Bismarck later today, and I'll be attending an event for the North Dakota Ag Coalition. For those who don't know that that exists, it is actually a nonpartisan federation of more than 40 organizations representing specific commodities and associations with direct links to agriculture. Some of the members of the Ag Coalition would include organizations such as IBAND, the Independent Beef Association, Stockmen's, Grain Growers, Milk Producers, Irrigation Association, Lamb and Wool, Oilseeds, Pork, Ag Consultants, and Barley, so many more. So really representing a very broad spectrum of who we have in North Dakota, because when you think about the diversity of what we have for cropping systems in this state, it's impressive. Even the Winery Association of North Dakota is represented there. Let's not forget those grape growers. Some of us are very happy with what they do and provide as a product. Right? Thanks to them. They do great work. All right. While we're gathering up information from caller number seven, you know, this winter weather that Dean's been talking about, he mentioned that with that heavy wind, if it breaks the snow cap, and we see blizzard-like conditions, another thing to think about is how that affects cattle. If you have hay laying out in a swath, so it's laid out on the ground in a long line, usually loose hay has some air underneath it, and it's kind of fluffy. So it's a lot easier for an animal to break through that crust to get to their feed. They can hit it with a foot, or they can bust through it with their nose so they can eat better. And it's better than when they have to fight through ice to get to corn stalks. Corn stalks are more dense, like closer to the ground, harder to get that feed. So that's why this time of the year, you're going to see supplemental feeding with hay as well as ground feed. And boy, with the cold weather that Dean predicted is coming, we are really going to want to see that higher protein diet to keep those internal combustion engines running on those ruminant animals. And as if it's not just cows, we got to think about sheep and horses who might be outside, plenty of water for them as well to help keep them warm and insulated, because that's what fuels them, is good food and good water quality. I don't look forward to the poor folks who have to go be busting open water tanks in this weather. Hopefully you've all got tank heaters and water bubblers to keep that flowing.
Yeah. And Bridget, is there a temperature that it gets to where now this is like dangerous even for our livestock to be out anywhere? I mean, is there a threshold or not? Not really.
Not really a threshold, but you certainly make allowances. You make sure that there are windbreaks that are up so you don't have that breeze hitting the animal, because that just degrades their heat, their internal heating system, so much faster. You also open up barns so they can get inside and have an opportunity to bunch up so that they get a little bit more heat in the barn, et cetera. You know, folks will drive by a feedlot or a pasture or an open field and say, geez, I see cattle and they've got snow on their backs.
Yeah.
That's actually a good thing.
It's an insulator.
Because but it also means that they're not losing heat. They're holding their heat in. If they were losing heat, then they would be melting their own snow off. So it's a good thing. Hmm. The beef animal, their hair, beef or dairy, the hair on that animal is actually hollow and it helps hold the heat in for them. So it's really a pretty good thing for them to show that they've got a little bit of snow on their backs. That's okay. Rain falls harder on them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Saturday night's freezing rain, probably not a great thing for a lot of cows out there. They may not have been real happy about that situation.
Or the livestock producers that have to go out and help them, or, you know, try and get them windbreaks. Nobody likes that.
Oh, it's not nice. Stuff breaks. That's the thing we forget about. I don't care how durable that metal is. When you have these cold temperatures, stuff breaks. Tractors don't start. People slip and fall. I've seen some terrible hand injuries from trying to chop ice and smashing your hand and just busting it open, needing stitches. So really, this is the time of year to be even more cautious when we're out trying to do these things. And certainly, as we've warned, in these cold temperatures, make sure your vehicle is prepared. We haven't always had the super cold temperatures that we did in the years past, right? It seems like it's just a smidge warmer every once in a while. So keep those things in mind. I am happy to see that this is increasing the ice thickness that we'll have for things like agronomy on ice coming up in February, because I am the anxious one of the bunch who wants at least 30 inches of ice to drive on. I didn't grow up with ice. And we're doing pretty well. We're at about the 20 to 21 inch mark right now up at Devil's Lake, just off of Woodland Resort.
When is agronomy on ice again, Bridget?
February the 5th. That's a Wednesday into the new year.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of upcoming events. Next week is the Advanced Crop Advisors Workshop. That'll be on Tuesday. That's hosted by North Dakota State University. We also know that next week is the Sioux Falls Farm Show down in Sioux Falls. I'm going to take a trip down there and take that show in and be able to share what's happening in Sioux Falls and so much more. The last week of January, right over the 29th, 30th, and 31st. That'll be the KMOT Ag Expo out in Minot. Very well attended. Lots of farmers go to that one, especially because it's everything from large new tractors, combines, to short line equipment that you might be looking for, and it incorporates livestock handling equipment. So if you are a producer who's diversified in all those areas, it's one-stop shopping in one place for you. I appreciate what it's like to go to the Minot Ag Show, and it's always ridiculously cold at the end of January in Minot. There's only been 1 year I remember it being like above 20 when we're out there.
Oof.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
no fun.
Yes. No, no, not at all. So when our guest joins us, we're going to talk about beef today. But one of the other things that we know about our beef animals is they provide us so much. We'll just get started with this topic just a little bit. And one of the things that folks probably didn't realize is that when you are using that beef animal after butchering, you're using at least 60% of the carcass for food, and the 40% after that is used for a variety of things, everything from leather to making gelatin from the bones and so much more. And I can give some details on that if our guest Trent Luce is a little bit behind today. But do we have a winner on our boat show tickets, by the way, guys?
Who's our winner, Addison,
maybe we have their
for our boat
information.
Show? Mark M. Okay, Mark.
Nice.
Congratulations, Mark. And yeah, just swing by the studio between now and next Friday to be able to pick those up during our regular business hours. So congratulations, Mark. And it looks like our guest is coming available. So why don't we take our quick bottom of the hour break? When we come back, we'll join Trent, and we'll be talking about beef and a lot of other things. If you have any questions for us or for our guest, don't forget, give us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Focus, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciate that. And don't forget to send in all of your questions. You can reach us by calling 701-293-9000, as well as emails ag@flagfamily.com. Today we are joined by Trent Luce. He's representing the All-American Beef Battalion. Trent, thanks for taking the time today.
Well, right off the bat, Bridget, I was here listening to you tell everybody I was late. I wasn't late.
You were not.
I was waiting on a woman.
Well, I was afraid that, considering you have a very busy day, that you might not get quite the time that you needed. So thank you. I know that you had to step out of a meeting in order to join us. Much appreciated.
I am. I'm at the Colorado State Capitol at the moment, but I'm here in Denver for the National Western, another celebration of beef.
It's an awesome celebration of beef. That kicked off middle of last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, the official first day was on Saturday. And last night, I'll just continue with your beef theme, because that's what we're going to talk about ultimately here with the All-American Beef Battalion. And that's another thing you left out, that beef not only replenishes the body, and we use 60% of the carcass, like you said, we use it to say thank you. But last night, we said thank you to a lot of folks at the National Western with the Beef and Wine Festival. And this is just a fantastic event, Bridget, because it brings people from inner city and cattlemen and Carhartts. Well, they weren't in Carhartts last night because it was pretty warm in Denver. But you know what I'm saying. It brings a dichotomy of food producers and food consumers together. And we had folks and people who were vendors from as far away as the state of Washington and Texas. And we had a great crowd and celebrated life. And that's what we do when we raise and produce beef.
Absolutely. I have a long list of things that beef provides for all of us. And we'll get to that later, because the important discussion at the moment is the All-American Beef Battalion. For those who don't know what it is, and you as a spokesman, tell us more.
So the All-American Beef Battalion is coming on its 15th year, and the first feed will be 15 years ago in April in Kansas. It was the vision of the late Bill Brody. Bill Brody was a lifelong cattleman from Ashland, Kansas. He called me one day and he said, Trent, we're going to make sure these kids coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan are not treated like we were treated when we came home from Vietnam. And I think we really learned a lesson in Vietnam, and that's played a role. And I say thank you to the Vietnam veterans, not only for their service, but what they endured to let everybody know that was a grave mistake that we cannot make again. And Bill Brody, a lifelong cattleman, said, we're going to be there when these kids are deployed or when they come back from deployment, and we are going to hand them a 1-pound ribeye, cheesy potatoes, a dinner roll, corn, a dessert, and say thank you. And we are now over 480,000 people in 14 plus years that we have handed a plate of food and we have said thank you. Not $1, Bridget, of the money donated, because 100% of this money is donated. North Dakota has actually been on the forefront. North Dakota corn growers were in the first couple of years of donating money, and I'm here in Colorado today, and the Colorado corn growers have been very good. Not $1 in this organization has gone for administration. Every single dollar has gone to the cause, and 100% of the money has come from everyday citizens that think that this is just a fantastic way to use beef to say thank you. And we've been to some very great celebrations, like Camp Pendleton in San Diego, And the day that we were at Walter Reed Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland is one that sticks with me and will always impact me because we were right there with these kids that had come home from the front line, were starting their rehabilitation process. And I don't know that anything's been more rewarding for me in 15 years to be a part of this organization.
Trent, that's a great organization, by the way. And you said it's been going for 15 years. Where would you like to see this expand to, or what would you like seen done more so than you are right now within the next, let's say, 10 years?
Bill's vision was from day one. We wanted to get to every base in the United States, but more importantly, he wanted to take our entire crew and feed in theater. And at that time, obviously, it was Iraq or Afghanistan. We never got that pulled off. But one of the limiting factors is that this group of cattlemen, this group of farmers, this group of volunteers who built grills, guys, they built grills to pull behind pickups that have a rotisserie that will grill 700 one-pound ribeyes at a time.
Wow.
Pull behind their pickups. We move in, and by the way, I'm not the cooker guy. I'm the talker guy. But these guys move in and can feed. We fed at Fort Carson, just down the road from right here. One day, we fed 5,000 troops in an hour and 50 minutes, the full meal deal. Cooked it, delivered. Well, we didn't cook it in an hour and 50 minutes, but we did the actual feeding. We start cooking at sunup. And this mobile catering unit has just turned into this amazing thing. So if you were to ask me what's the one thing would be Bill's vision was always to go to theater and feed the troops right on the front lines.
Wow.
Where's your next event, Trent? If you guys are keeping up with what's happening all around the U.S. and maybe someday there'll be the chance to be in theater, What's the next one that you'll be going to or where other folks can keep an eye out for it?
You know, a spokesperson that does a proper job in planning would say, you know, next week we're going to be in Minot at the Air Force Base, but it turns out that I don't know what the schedule is. But there is, and it's important. I got it in an email, but I didn't think to look at it. It's important to let everybody know that there's a system in place, and we must get a request from a commander of a given place. And because of that, the All-American Beef Battalion has developed a fantastic relationship with certain places, like Fort Carson here in Colorado. There's not one place we've been and fed more troops than here at Fort Carson. Fort Bliss has been another outstanding endeavor for us because we've got some true champions in the organization that are in Texas as well. And so we've got groups scattered of volunteers that are a part of it. And when the request comes in, the money's available, we pick out the right time. And usually there's a day, they typically call it the R&R day. There's a day when just before they begin their deployment that the family comes together and they play games and they do all of these kind of things, which I find kind of interesting actually, because if you have ever been to this, what they call R&R day, and you go and watch these warriors, the best warriors in the world, get ready to go fight in Iraq, you know what they do? They try to kill each other in football with no gear on. That's the kind of warriors they are. And I was interested on the rest and relaxation day. They go out there and crack heads and try to get it done. It's just, there's nothing more humbling than to hand a plate of food with a one-pound ribeye on it to a group of soldiers, say thank you for your service. And they say, no, thank you. We owe you. We're doing it for you. I know. But I have to tell you, the one conversation that I had that made the greatest impact on me was when we were in Arlington, Texas, and we were feeding a group of 300 wounded warriors. Not one of these kids had two arms and two legs. Oh. And I was visiting with retired four-star general Jimmy Williams, United States Marine Corps. And I said, thank you for your service. He said, boy, don't give me lip service. If you really want to say thank you for what we've done, then what you will do is exercise the rights that we have protected for you. And guys, I got to tell you, that was the day that I said, I'm not just going to say thank you. I'm going to make sure that what they have done has an impact every single day.
Oh, that's vital to what we see every day, Trent. And one of the things that I think about is there is also an initiative out there called the Red Shirt Friday. And that represents, making sure that everyone gets home safely from the military. And we want that more than anything. We don't want anybody left behind. And we want to make sure that we go ahead and represent folks. So if you ever want to participate in another very simple to do military initiative, that would be wearing your red shirts on Friday. And I like what Trent said about having a commander make a request. Will you also do that for National Guard units or only what we would maybe consider active personnel? I don't know how to define that.
No, we have done for many National Guard units all across this country. It doesn't matter whether you're what branch of the military. If the request comes in, we can make it happen. It will happen. But Bridget, you bring up the red shirt Friday. I've worn a red shirt every Friday for 18 and a half years. But I'm curious, do you know where and when that started?
You know, I don't, but I know several folks who participate, good friends through social media, et cetera, but I don't know the origination of it.
At the end of World War II, the Ladies Auxiliary for the VFW suggested that every Friday, every man, woman, and child wear a red shirt just as a simple, subtle gesture to the boys coming home from the beaches of France and Italy in the South Pacific. I learned that when I was speaking at Air Force at Cannon Air Force Base in New Mexico, and I learned that 19 years ago. And when I learned that, I started talking about it every single week. I've worn a red shirt every single Friday, and it's always the women that lead us into these lasting relationships.
So, Trent, I know that as your day is filling up, I need to know, how can folks participate in what you do? Do they call you up when they are ready to donate a side of beef? How does that participation work, whether you're a local rancher or someone who's maybe a military family and wants to be supportive, or just general public?
So I love the concept of donating beef. We can't functionally make that work because we're scattered so badly, and we have developed a very good procurement relationship with one entity. So the thing to do to get involved and volunteer is probably the best asset we could ask for. But you can make donations, you can volunteer, and the place to go to do that is Steaks.
Trent got interrupted there,
oh, no.
But it's a
there we go. All right, we got
Steaks for Troops. Okay, good. Steaks for Troops, Trent. That's what you were talking about. Was the website
steaksfortroops.com? Correct.
Excellent. All right, we want folks to make sure that they, as Trent said, send those requests. If you are a commander for the All American Beef Battalion, make sure that you are participating by donations and ways that you can support. Because remember, so much of our active duty comes from the rural areas. Roughly 40% of our service members are from rural communities and farms. So, Trent, thanks for what you do to represent the beef industry and highlight our military.
My pleasure. Thanks for bringing up the beef and the beef battalion, guys.
Thank you, Trent. All right.
We'll see you soon.
Oh, you got it. You got it. Have a great time in Denver. And boy, what an organization. I mean, that is just fantastic. You know, anytime we do anything for the troops, I love his story about his most memorable moment. That was fantastic. That was great.
I think for those who know Trent throughout the broadcasting world, many things that he touches on, he has a lot of tremendous stories, much like that. And I appreciate that he shares them so generously with others. I also think that, again, the opportunity to put beef in front of folks, especially if you're coming back from active duty, and if your body is in the need of healing because of things that have happened over there, physical injuries and others, beef is great for your body and your mind. And so I'm very happy to see folks participating in a program like the All-American Beef Battalion. And now we have to remember to wear our red shirts on Friday, Dean.
Right. I know. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to come up on break here. We'll recap the weather and go over a couple other topics in about 3 or 4 minutes. Don't go anywhere. If you have any questions for us, again, our phone 970-1-293-9000. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 152. In the afternoon, and temperatures outside generally mid-upper 20s across the area. We'll top out pretty close to 30 across much of the area. A lot of clouds around, a little bit of filtered sunshine poking through. And winds will start to increase a little bit as we head into the evening hours, turning to the south 10 to 20. And then those southerly winds will increase overnight, might have a little blowing snow overnight, especially on those east-west roadways with the south wind. But those southerly winds will also help keep our temperatures pretty much steady overnight tonight in the mid-20s, and then actually rise just a few degrees as we head towards sunrise. And our high tomorrow will be in the morning. We have an Arctic front that will hit late morning to around lunchtime. That will switch our winds to the northwest at 25 to 40. And we'll likely see at least a few snow showers as that Arctic air arrives. Not looking at a lot, less than a half inch. But as those snow showers fall accompanied with the wind, we could have some pockets of reduced visibility. Now, when the winds start to really ramp up in the afternoon up to 40, we're going to have to keep a very close eye, especially east of the valley where there's a little more snowpack, of a more widespread blowing snow event. That could lead to really reduced visibilities and very, very slippery travel. If we can break, there's a little layer of ice on top of the snow. It's kind of a little crust. If we can break that away, and typically that will take 45-mile-an-hour winds or higher, then we could have near-blizzard conditions, especially in the open area. If that thin crust holds on the snow, visibilities will be much, much better. So it's going to kind of it's going to be a wait and see event on how strong the winds end up. You know, a 5-8 mile an hour wind difference doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. And I think again, the greatest threat if you're traveling east on 94, it looks like that's where the best chance of any blizzard conditions will be tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. Now the winds do relax after falling temperatures all day long. The winds relax a little bit, but it's still breezy over the weekend out of the northwest, about 10 to 20, both Saturday and Sunday, and highs between 0 and 10 below, with Sunday being the coldest day, and then morning lows about 20 below. Those mornings, Sunday and Monday morning, we'll have wind chills about 40 below throughout much of the area. And Saturday morning, we're looking at probably wind chills about 25 below or a little colder than that. So a bitterly cold weekend, the coldest weather we've seen in 2 years, which isn't, I mean, last winter was pretty much cakewalk, so that doesn't really count. But yeah, definitely some dangerously cold weather. We will have advisories and warnings that will be put into place for the cold weather. Now we'll see what happens with the wind in terms of, do we have any advisories put in together, put out for blizzard conditions? I think there's about a 30% chance of that happening. I think better chance that it doesn't happen. So again, we'll see how this all pans out tomorrow. But keep that in the back of your mind if you have any travel plans. Might need to alter those if conditions deteriorate quickly.
Well, and if you are spending your afternoon tomorrow at a computer, and if you have kids who are interested, I'm looking for students who are sophomores in high school to about sophomores in college who have some ag experience. Love to see some FFA and 4-H members participate as the assistant ag director here at WDAY. I look for a student every month to spend one show with Dean and I, going through our questions and headlines of the day, interviewing guests like we just had on air, and spending some time just learning the radio business in the background. So for those who have an interest in future of broadcasting, journalism, and especially farm broadcasting, feel free to reach out. Would love to have you send me an email, ag@flagfamily.com, so we can line up more students to join us throughout the next few months. Well, before Trent joined us on air, we were talking about the things that beef brings to us as humans. And the latest craze, if you will, fad, maybe not fad, but definitely something that people are talking about, would be beef tallow. Tallow is actually the fat of the beef animal. And we are seeing folks selling it in everything from hand creams to its consumption when you're cooking. It is a rich omega-6 fatty acid, and it really moisturizes as well as reduces inflammation. Folks are trying it all over the place, but for many years you could find it in lipstick, chapstick, soaps, and toothpastes. Also, the fat can be used as a lubricant. You'd find it in hydraulic brake fluid and antifreeze. So remember that 60% ingestion by the human, 40% for other things. Then the collagen. Collagen from the animal can be found in a lot of the tissues, high concentration in the skin, the hooves, the bone, and tendons. And, you know, sometimes that even winds up in glue. Remember that old adage, we'll send this horse to the glue factory? Well, beef collagen can also be used in glues. Additionally, that collagen is used as a filler in plastic surgeries, and the gelatin from when you boil down the bones and hooves and the hide, you can extract the gelatin, and that then becomes what you use in desserts, beverages, snacks, and other products. The hide itself, well, we can be using that for purses, leather, briefcases, so much more, even car seats. But really, the thing that's going to catch everybody's attention coming up very soon is that even though we call it passing the pigskin, that football that's going to be used at the Super Bowl comes out of a cow hide. And we'll have lots of facts and figures on how many footballs out of a hide, that type of thing, as we get closer. So there's a lot of reasons we use beef, and it's not just when it's tasty and a steak on your plate. Even the blood from the animal can be used in oral iron supplements. So keep that in mind. That beef animal is kind of like Santa Claus, the gift that keeps on giving year-round, better than a Jelly of the Month Club, if you will.
And I bet a lot of people don't know those little tidbit facts either.
I always remember being told that about the gelatin from the bones, and including like marshmallows. That's where marshmallow gelatin comes from, is from boiling down that collagen out of the beef animal. And folks would be surprised to hear that when you think about a marshmallow, you don't think about a T-bone at the same time.
That's for sure.
There's a reason you could. Absolutely. All right. Excellent day today. Glad Trent was able to join us.
No doubt about it. So for Bridget, myself, I want to thank everybody. Stay tuned to the Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next. Have a great day.